This morning, I'm going to, if you see that the bulletin, I'm going to be talking about praying for our nation. Randall Greer had sent out a newsletter, was talking about some of the things going with our nation and the problems and things that we're facing, and the whole point of it is the fact that we need God's help. I mean, there is not another solution. And we're going to have to move toward God, because the solutions to our problem are not physical things. You know, people keep dealing with, our financial problems. Well, our financial problems come from our spiritual problems in our nation. It comes because we have not followed sound spiritual principles. We've left them. You know, it doesn't matter. You know that. We have a president who says we're no longer a Christian nation. And that's his confession, and he sure lives up to it. He lives up to it, and his policies have proved he has no need for Christ. We can turn around and get mad at him and do whatever we want. We have to move, and we got to move in a spiritual way. We have to do things according to the Word of God. And I want to talk today in some areas about praying for our nation. Specifically, we're going to do it. There's some of these principles, they also would help in praying for others and things. But we need to look at some principles from the Word of God so we gain understanding on specifics on about praying for our nation. It doesn't matter just to be a person who prays. You know, people say, "Well, I pray." Well, I could pray and be totally ineffective in what I do. My prayer's not producing anything. I've watched people over the time go down praying, man, just things not working. And is knowing how to do it. And we can learn. How do we learn the principles of it? Understand, as we look in the Scriptures can't tell us everything specifically. There's many things, if we apply the Scriptures to it and hooking up with God, then God reveals things to us specifically. In ministry and prayer and things, there's one of the things about it. I don't care how much you study about prayer, you'll never really learn prayer till you pray, and learn how to pray according to the Word of God, how to respond to God according to the Word. If you respond to God according to the Word, God will begin to respond to you. I found out through things where, I thought I was moving in line with God on things and concerning prayer. Things weren't changing. God wasn't speaking to me about it, and I learned after a time that I really wasn't responding to God according to Scripture. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And as soon as I started to move toward God according to Scriptures, God started responding to me. And so it's really important, like praying for our nation. You know, we have national days of prayer, and they say, "Well, everybody, pray for your nation." That sounds absolutely wonderful. Look, I'm not knocking to have a day of prayer for your nation, but most Christians don't know how to pray for their nation. And so what they're doing don't really amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't matter. We can go through the motions. We can see things or cry. Sometimes it becomes people have more of a complaint to God about things than they do a prayer. And so we want to learn some things, because there's principles in the Word of God. I want us to look at Ezekiel, to go over to Ezekiel. I'm going to talk about a scripture there. There's some things concerning people and praying, which is used a lot. Now, I'm going to specifically be talking about interceding for our nation. And one thing, as I've learned over time, there is the intercession, but that's not the only prayer. We're going to look at it from the perspective, because intercession is praying for someone else or for something else, not for yourself. You can't use the prayer of faith when you're praying the prayer of intercession. You need to understand that. See, many people, they pray for our land, they make a confession like, "Just because I claimed it, it's going to happen." Well, I'm sorry, if you could do that, you could just claim everybody's salvation and everybody would get born again. If you notice, that ain't going to work. You have to understand the principles of prayer, and we want to look at some things about intercession. In Ezekiel, the 22nd chapter, I want to read scripture to us in Ezekiel that I think it will be very beneficial, because it does line up with things that we're facing today. Because Ezekiel's we're going to find out that God is revealing through Ezekiel, Israel's in a condition, and there's very much of what is going on in America today. And we could probably, over the centuries, could probably found many nations that would fit these categories. As a nation who gets away from God, they're going to be doing certain things. And we're going to find that these principles are here in the Word. We're going to be able to see the condition of things going on. Now, starting at verse 23 in Ezekiel 22, verse 23 says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst." And I want to stop there. Really, what he's talking about, let's understand this, is the prophet was the preacher of the day. He was the preacher. And what they were doing, really, they were taking care of themselves here. In other words, they weren't preaching right. They weren't saying the right things. And we have much of that in America today. Much of the preaching in America today is like, oh, everything's just going to be all right. I want you to know something. Everything's not going to be all right. Look around. They're running around saying all this stuff while people are going under. People have to respond to the Word. People, they act like, that just because they get up and make a thus saith or something, that, well, that just makes it happen. No, people have to respond. And they're acting like, God, I've heard ministers, I've heard Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost ministers, so-called Holy Ghost ministers, God will never let America go under. Well, you hide and watch, you moron. Because you read the Bible, prophets were running around saying the same thing. Go read Jeremiah, what the other prophets were all saying. While the whole nation went under. You see, I believe, we want to have, you want to have a positive confession in life. Don't want to be a person always on the negative, but you got to tell the truth. You got to speak the truth in love. And I'll tell you what, lots of times this so-called mushy love we got in America today in preaching is destructive. It's destroying people. It's telling people it's all right taking their money while the people are going under. That ain't the way it's supposed to be, it's one thing. It's people preach for wrong motives. They have wrong motives. They preach for what they can get out of it, what they can put into somebody. And we want to help people. And really, I can find in America, we have this today. There's good preaching going on out there. And I mean, we have, people out here saying, somebody gets up and talks about, in some way dealing with judgment. Oh, no, we don't have no judgment today. Get over it. You better wake up, space cadet. There's judgment going on. If there's no judgment going on, then there's no need for us to intercede for America nor pray for America. Any minister that asks you to pray for America and tells you judgment don't going on, ask him what on earth he's talking about. Why would I be praying when there's nothing happening? Why would I be praying? What's the point? Ain't nothing going to happen if I don't. Dear Lord, if they have a dose, I'll tell you what, if you can't tell me that this presidency ain't a judgment. Is this a blessing from heaven? Is this a blessing, this administration we got? Say, my words, bunch of space cadets. Well, see, we have this going on out here. Now, verse 26 says, "Her priests have violated my laws, profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy, the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbath so that I am profaned among them." So, in other words, here it says, the priest, speaking of the priest, it talks about the holy and the unholy. See, today, there is no holy and unholy. See, we have this grace of God and don't matter what you do, We're living in the days of grace. We're not under the law, so we can live like hell. We can just go ahead and do what we want. It's all going to be all right. No, it's not. See, we get these messages out there. And see, what happens, understand that. These messages are coming out of unclean people. They're unclean. See, the priest is unclean, so he preaches the unclean message. Why? He ain't going to preach the message to get right because he'd feel guilty preaching. He's going to, you know, and this is what, I'm going to tell you what, these guys out here that are preaching this kind of stuff, I know what kind of lives they live. I can tell by what they're preaching. The kind of lives they're living. They're not helping the people. These are the things that are going on. This, in other words, this nation we're going to find, this peoples are in trouble. They're in trouble. You know, see, we can sit here and, you know, we understand holy. We may understand these things and we walk in it, but the majority around us don't. And the voices that are talking to the majority and they're listening to ain't right. It ain't right. You know, we're definitely a peculiar people. We're hearing a different voice. We're walking in something different. We understand what the Scripture says. If we want to walk in the blessing of God, we understand about what to do. But we're living in the midst of a nation that sure ain't doing that. We're living that the majority of Christianity is on another road. And we need to understand it. You know, when everybody puts it, it's all going to be all right. No, it's not. The Bible says it in the New Testament. It ain't the Old Testament. It ain't the law. It said men are going to reap what they sow. And I believe we're getting that. Hallelujah. But we want it. We can change things. And we can be for God an avenue of change. Hallelujah. To open up the door of things. We don't want to sit around and just focus on problems. But you know, if you don't see what the problem is, you can't do anything to correct it. If you think the problem is what's going on is all right, you're going to do nothing to correct it. And so we want to know what to do or what we can do to hook up with God to bring God's plan to pass. It's just like with Kenneth Copeland speaking the things he speaks by the Spirit of God. It ain't going to fall out of the sky on us like ripe cherries off a tree. It's not going to happen. People have to respond to it. People have to walk toward it by faith. They have to act according to the Word of God. You know, they're going to have to act. I mean, He gave the Scriptures about fearing the Lord. Well, if people ain't going to start fearing the Lord, they can forget those other good things in the prophecy. It ain't going to happen to them. It's not going to take place. There's conditions. There's conditions. And so we need to understand that. We want to make changes. It says, in verse 27 says, her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Boy, it sounds like American leadership today, don't it? You know, our congressmen and all these the bunch down there, they've been getting richer and richer while the economy's hurt on more people. Yet, how many millions of dollars they have made through this thing. Because, you know, it's legal for them to turn around to make investments knowing on the legislation that they're gonna make. Now here we are locking men up for inside trading, and our congressmen are inside traders, and we got these guys down there even saying that their Christians are doing it. Bunch of backslidden buzzards. They're evil men. They're evil and wicked. Sitting around telling us, yeah, we care. They have another set of rules from themselves. They're doing these. This is what we're facing. You know, it always amazes me how people can't read the Bible and see America today and a lot of things that Israel in the messes that they were in. How they can't see it. It's like, we're not that bad. I'm going to tell you what, we're going to stand in a greater judgment than they did. Because we have a greater revelation than they do. Hallelujah. You know, they were on the back side of the cross. We're on the front side. We have it on this side. We're going to stand on a greater judgment. And that's why we need to know how to pray. Because we need God's help in our land. It goes on to say, her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, "Thus says the Lord God," when the Lord had not spoken. And you know, he said, talk about the people. He plastered them. In other words, there's nothing to fortify the people to stand. You know, walking around and everything's all right. America could never go under and things. Who'd ever be so stupid? You know, the Bible tells us to be careful lest, you know, we fall. It says that. Tells us. So we're supposed to walk in a way and live a life like we could trip up. So be cautious about things. That don't mean live in fear and worry. But we need to understand. We can slip And so, in living such a way, here the people are getting messages, and their lies, people aren't hearing from God. We want to know. Well, I want to listen to people that are hearing from God. Now it says in verse 30. Now listen, it says, listen to what it said. Now all this dilemma is going on. Understand, this is what's happening in the land. And so the Lord says this. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. Now, you know, you really won't understand that scripture until we have read those scriptures before. See, lots of people pull out that scripture, but you need to understand the conditions of what was going on before. Now, this is what we know is taking place. They're still playing church. Oh, they have people doing prayers. But God said He can't find anybody to stay in the gap. Just because I pray does not mean I can stand in the gap. Just because I'm doing my religious duty and doing religious little prayers and doing things, don't mean I'm a person who could stand in the gap. They're having prayers because it's talking about the priest. The priests are still running their little show. They're still doing their thing. He said, I'm looking for somebody that can stand in the gap. See, nobody's standing in the gap because everybody thinks it's all right. They all think it's okay. Nobody's standing. Nobody sees the need for somebody standing in the gap. You just send your offering in and I'll take care of everything for you. Okay? Just send me an offering and, you know, everything will be all right. Your life will just be blessed. I wish it was that simple. I wish I could just send an offering to somebody and I'd never have to worry about a thing. That'd be really nice, but I'll tell you what, I've lived long enough face of the earth as a sinner for 30 years to know that's a bunch of bunk. You know, you should have enough natural wisdom to know the guys that are telling you that are con men. You know, we ain't buying that. You send me an offering and everything's going to be on. I know enough about life to know that I have a responsibility. That I can't pass on to other people. That I can't hand to somebody else. You know, I just can't put it over on other people. There's things I need to do. I know that. And I sure believe in giving offerings. I believe in sure doing that. And I believe there's a great purpose, but I don't believe that's any kind of fix-all or near fix-all. That should be just a response of what we are, not trying to become something. I'm not trying to become something through my giving. I give because I am something. God made me something. Hallelujah. So, but what happens here, God speaks here concerning that He said He was looking among them. He sought for somebody to stand in the gap. He said, before me on behalf of the land. In other words, somebody that would come and stand and say, hey, Lord, we're in big trouble here. And we say, but Lord, we're going to call out to you. Now, listen what the next verse says. It says, therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their heads, says the Lord. In other words, they reap what they sowed. And you need to see something here in the heart of God. Now, did you listen this morning to the psalm that Eileen read about God? See, God's intent, and we see God's intent. God don't like what's going on here. I mean, he really doesn't talk nice about what they're doing. He's not too happy about this. But it is not God's intent. God doesn't want to destroy them. The Bible tells us that God doesn't take pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. He doesn't take pleasure in that. That isn't what God wants to do. But it requires, we see through the scriptures, it requires something if we want to bring this something like this to a stop. If we want to do something, or at least keep it from happening to the extent that it happened here. That there's some things. So we find this out. God is looking for somebody. God's looking for someone who can stand in the gap. Now I'm going to tell you, nobody's going to, carnal Christians are not going to stand in the gap. Carnal Christians cannot stand in the gap. Because we need to understand what it requires to stand in the gap. In let me read it to you here from Isaiah. Go over to look at Isaiah. God was seeking for a man. And Isaiah tells us something in Isaiah 43, a very familiar scripture that's used concerning prayer. And Isaiah 43. Because God is looking for someone. And if we want to be used by God in prayer, there's going to be some things that are required of us in this area for somebody to stand in the gap. In Isaiah 43 verse 25 says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now you need to understand these things. This is why you want to look at God. You got to understand God's side. God, here's you need to understand this. God does not blot out your transgressions because you're good or you've done something good. God blotted out the transgressions of humanity for his name's sake. And we need to understand this if on our approach to God in prayer. Because when we're approaching God, just like here, for a nation that is on the wrong track, you have nothing to come to God before them on their good deeds. Because at the time, they have none. They don't have good deeds. You know, I see people keep trying to call out to God to get God to change things for America as if like, well, the world can't make it if America ain't here. Well, I'm going to tell you, if America stays on the course it's on, America is a detriment to the world, not a help. Is a detriment. So we can't approach God on the basis of the good that America does. One thing is you need to learn when you're interceding for somebody else or something else, you approach God on the basis of His goodness. You approach God on the basis of what He is. You come to Him, and this is like, you know, it isn't one of these jobs you come running the door. Well, God, I expect you to do this or I expect you to do that. Well, that ain't going to work. Because you're praying and moving into an area, praying for someone or something, in this case, talking about praying for a nation, but really, their deeds would mean they should end up with something else. And what you're doing is you're coming before God because you want to see that change. Now, the next verse says this. This is God speaking. God said, now, I'm the guy that forgives the sin. I do it for my sake. I'm not doing it for you. I didn't do it for yours. You ever think about that? God didn't forgive your sin for your sake. He did it for His. He did it for His sake. And if you don't understand that, you don't even know much about the love of God. His love is phenomenal to me that He didn't do it for me. He did it for His name's sake. He fixed things. He was willing to fix things because of who He is. Why? Because I had nothing to offer Him and you didn't either. Of any reason why He should want to fix your mess. He did it for His name's sake. I'm going to fix things just because I'm so glorious. I'm so wonderful. That's why He did it. Hallelujah. It's really, that's the compassion and love of God. He looked down in the earth and said, I can't fix this for your sake. It's like the Lord told me concerning, I've talked about before, with I prayed for Wanda's grandfather years back and God turned things around. He said, I can't heal him for his sake, but he said, I will do it for you because you asked me. He said, he has no place to ask me to do it. In other words, he can't come before me and ask me. Why? Because of his deeds. But he said, you ask, I'll do it for you. You see, this is one of the things, this is why much of the church world can't come before God to pray for America. Because on the basis of their deeds, they're in as bad shape as the nation they want changed. That's why this little living holy stuff, you know, that's why living right, walking right, and I'm not talking about just, you know, I don't cuss, I don't swear, I don't chew tobacco, I don't do, you know, I'm pretty nice, I don't chew snuff, and I'm pretty good. That ain't the kind of stuff we're talking about. You know, if you don't do that, that's good. But God says to them, what does he say? Put me into remembrance, let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Well, isn't that sort of like he's talking about over there in Ezekiel? Isn't that sort of what he's saying over there? He's telling, I couldn't find somebody to stand in the gap. In other words, there needed to be an acquittal, but I had no reason to do one. And you need to understand this. This is legal talk. If you want to succeed in prayer, you better be a good lawyer. If you're not a good lawyer, you're not going to amount to much in prayer. I'll be honest with you. You're not. If you're not a good lawyer from the standpoint of understanding your covenant, understanding, and you can't plead cases before God. There's a little book back there, Kenneth E. Hagin, called Plead Your Case. That's one of the little books that I had gotten when I first got born again, learned about that, learning about pleading your case. Over time, I've prayed about things, and I've asked God, I've prayed to God about certain things. I've had God speak to me specifically about, and really, if, as a standpoint, just like a lawyer. Well, I want to know, what's your reason for this? Why do you want it? And I just get before God and tell Him why. You know, you need to understand this. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't know what the Word says, where your legal right stands to come before God, there's things you can never pray to God about, and He won't talk to you about, or He won't deal with you on. Because you have to have a legal place to stand. It's like anything. I have no right to go before God for healing with no, and I'm out there, and I'm not standing legally on the Word of God and what God's Word says about healing. You know, people just, God's good, He'll heal me. That sounds wonderful, it sounds great, but you better have a better stand than that. You better know what the Bible says, because the devil's going to kick your feet right out from under you, and you're going to stay sick. You need to know where you legally stand. You want God to respond to you. The kingdom of God is made up of rules. And if you don't follow the rules, it don't work. Here He tells us, you have a case to plead before Him. There's a case to be pled before a nation. God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He can't get a carnal Christian to do it because they don't know enough about the Bible to do it. They don't know enough about the laws and rules of their covenant to stand in His presence to plead a good case. That's what God's looking for. God's looking for somebody who can plead a case. This is one of the reasons why the intercessory prayer started back in the 1980s and went in the 90s, brought more devil operation in the church than it did God operation, because it was mostly carnal. Men were not pleading their case to God. They're fighting devils. They're doing all kinds of stuff, doing their little routines. We want God to move. If I want something done, I ain't wasting my time with the devil. Man, he's the enemy. I want to get the plan of God. I want to get God working. I want to get God moving. I want to get God being able to do what He wants to do. And God, He looks down on this nation and His heart is, I want this stuff to turn around. I want to be able to do some things here. I want to be able to move so this nation can be used again. But God has to have a reason to do it, and the authority to do it is in man, not God. It's in man. Why would God be waiting for a man to stand in the gap if God can do what He wants? I mean, we have so much crazy preaching going on, no wonder nothing happens. They don't even read the Bible. They use these scriptures, but they don't pay no attention to what it says. They just keep following their old religious beliefs. And so we get the same things going on. No, God is looking for a man to stand. Why did God send Jesus to the earth? He turned, God became a man so a man could stand in the earth between God and man and redeem us. If Jesus didn't become a man, you could not have been redeemed. It was impossible. Impossible. The authority is in man. And you need to understand that God's looking for a man. He's looking for somebody that's going to stand up and say, hey, hold it. Hold it, Lord. Lord, this thing's out of hand, but I'm going to stand. I want to be somebody that can stand before you. I want to be somebody that can plead the case. I want to read you some scriptures, scriptures here that I read, verse 26. The Bible in basic English says this, put me in mind of this. Let us take up the cause between us. Put forward your cause so that you may be seen to be in the right. The Amplified Bible says this, put me in remembrance Remind me of your merits. Let us plead and argue together. Set forth your case that you may be justified, proved right. In other words, God is looking for somebody to come and stand who can bring the case before Him, can plead it. I found this over time, over the years, is praying, where God in praying and interceding for others, and God would, I would start to talk about things, and God would ask me questions. See, this is why most people don't know this kind of prayer. Most people never hear God in prayer. They only ever talk in prayer. They do all the talking. God never responds to them because all they ever do is their prayer life is mostly asking for things, asking for stuff. I want this fixed. I want that fixed. I'm just praying for so-and-so. But it's never really in a place of where they plead the case for anybody. Look, you can't do this without God. This type of prayer, you can't stand in the gap without God. You don't go and pray your little routine and then you don't have to listen to what God says about it, because you need to understand this. Sometimes you run into praying and interceding where you're going to find out that your case can't hold up before God and they're going to have to be dealt with. That happens, folks, whether people like it or not. One of the greatest falsehoods about interceding for people is the idea that if we intercede, then it's always going to work. No, sometimes God's going to tell you. God has told me in cases I prayed for people and God said, I can't do nothing for them and you can't either. I won't do it. They know what to do and they won't do it. That stays like it is. I pleaded the best I could on it, but I tell you what, didn't have a legal right really. You know, God is great. We have all this stuff of legal rights within our kingdom and God does a lot of mercy stuff. But you know what? His mercy endures forever, but not in every situation to everything where it keeps people from reaping what they sown. See, people get this idea because God's mercy endures forever means they would, you know, don't worry about getting reaped what you sowed. Well, get over that one. He's merciful. He's merciful in the fact that many times we don't reap what we sow in really the time period that we should. He really holds it off and holds it off. And when it finally runs us over, we forgot about what we've been doing. When it comes to pass, what we've been doing shows up. It's like, oh, Lord, have mercy. He's been doing that the whole time. He's been being real merciful. He's always like that. He's merciful. But we're supposed to come before God, and this is why we need to understand the Word. We need to know where we stand. We need to know. If we're going to come to stand in the gap for the nation, we need to know what the Word says about our God. We need to know how God views things and how He sees stuff. That's what the Scriptures are about. The Scriptures reveal to us what our God's like. They reveal His character to us. Now, we can know things, but there is that thing about us. We learn to know God personally. We can read about His character traits, but there's a lot of things I've learned about God over time that I've learned that specifically the Bible don't say, but I understand about His character because of spending time with Him and praying and how He has responded to me on things and things He's spoken to me. I've learned over time specifics about His character and things that He does and will do and won't do. I've learned that over time. You know, it's just like a little child. A little child will always try to feel out a parent to see how far they can go. Don't they? Or how far we can. Well, you know, in a lot of ways, that's what we are as baby Christians. We sort of feel out God, how far we can go, what we can ask, or how. Or you know, and many times we're coming and we're not really in a place to really understand exactly what we're doing, and we think, you know, we're just sort of, and God really sort of tolerates a lot of things. But then people grow up over the years and then they come along and say, I don't understand. I used to always get this and it used to be always this way and today it's not. Well, I can know what happened. They never grew up and God expected them to, and He no longer gives them the tolerance He did before. It isn't because He don't love them. But see, there is requirements. Oh, man. I like the gospel of no requirements better. I like that one. I like the one, He just loves everybody. It's all going to work out okay. Now, we know it never works, but people like to fantasize it anyhow. And like to live that life and like to talk about it. But it doesn't work. It ain't happening, folks. He expects us. And what happens is people are trying to get God to respond to them like they're a baby. And see, that doesn't work. A child, we wouldn't expect the child. You wouldn't go say, man, I need a lawyer. Let's get that little kid. Get down here to the court. Would you please plead my case for me? And you know, a person would probably try to find a lawyer that would be good. I mean, lawyers specialize in certain things, you know, in type of case law. Because, hey, no lawyer can know everything about all the law. I mean, even our government ain't got a clue about all the law. They just pass them and ain't got a clue about what they're doing. They just throw them out there. We got to figure it out after, you know, how this thing works. I mean, it's a mess. But we look for a lawyer and understand it's pleading a case. If we're going to come before God and we're going to plead a case before God, it would be good to know how God views things. You need to understand. We come before God. We need to understand about His mercy. If God's not merciful, then I wouldn't probably have much of a case, would I? But number one, I know He's merciful. I know this. I know the fact from what we read. See, you know, understand these things. I know this. Even though we're in a mess, God still has an ear open to hear. Even though things have gotten out of hand. You know, I've spent a lot of time reading over the years of the prophets and looking into things the prophets, especially Jeremiah. Jeremiah was in a land that was a mess. But God tried and tried and tried to change things for that land. Now, they refused till it ended up, they ended up destroyed. That was their choice. It wasn't that God wanted that way, but God came to the point where He would no longer, He told Jeremiah, don't even pray for the people anymore. Because I ain't going to listen to you on it. I won't do it. American Christianity has no, those scriptures don't exist in the American Bible. I want to tell you what, they exist. Because people don't realize you can go to the point of too far. God wouldn't, this is one thing to see as I know about God. God would not be prompting me to pray if the door was closed. See, we have mixed message. I've heard ministers say today, well, it ain't going to do any good to pray for America and all that stuff. If it ain't going to do any good. Well, God's not saying that. God hasn't said that. And then they'll talk around, then they'll turn around, then they'll go preach a message how you're supposed to pray for your leaders. Now hold it. You just preach two different messages. That's dumb. See, you don't want to get them to be your lawyer to stand in the gap. The nation's going down the tubes. Because they're saying on one hand, it ain't going to change. So you know they're praying in unbelief for the leaders. So, what? See, God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. God wants somebody who knows Him. God wants somebody that knows Him. And see, we need to know how God responds. So I know this. I know God is looking for ones to stand in the gap. He's looking for somebody. God does not want to bring to pass what is on the horizon for this nation. There's some bad stuff on the horizon for this nation. There's things that if they don't change, it's going to get real ugly. It's going to get real ugly. There's things that can be changed. And I tell you what, we need them changed. If they're not changed, if there's some things not held off, the church is going to see things in America and this earth before they leave that we would not have to see or put up with. If they're not changed. Now, I'm just telling you that's the way it is. But we have an opportunity to change it. And it can be changed. But it's not changed by knowing the devil. It's changed by knowing God. It's not changed by fighting devils. It's changed by knowing God. God wants a reason to move. He's looking for someone that's going to give Him permission, that can plead the case well enough that He can do what He would really like to do, is to show His mercy. That's what He's looking for. That's what He wants. That's what God's desiring. But he's looking for ones to stand in the gap. You know, it's like Randall Greer talked about it. He said about, you know, praying. He said, God responds, and the Bible tells us, God responds when people respond to Him in faith. When people respond to Him in faith, God responds. And You know, people who aren't praying in faith, they can be praying, but they ain't praying in faith toward God. They aren't operating according to the rules and how God has established the kingdom and how it functions, and they're not operating in it. They're praying, but God ain't listening. Because He can't respond to them. If He responds to them without being in line, then He has to do that for everybody. Then nobody has to be in line. Well, that can't be. That can't be. And God told Randall Greer, there's people calling out to me all the time. They're calling out to me. He said, God, he said, look out through the world. He said, all the religions. I mean, my words, look at the Muslims. How many times a day? They're calling out. Is it working? Is God responding to them? So see, there's all kind of prayer. There's all kind of prayers and things going up. But there are prayers that God responds to that are in line with His Word. They're in line with Him. And see, that's what we got to find out. If we're going to, you know, if a person's going to be an intercessor, there's things that I've learned over time of people like Brother Hagin. God used him quite a bit in intercessory prayer. There's also other people that I've, you know, read after listening to them teach and listening to their teaching and things used in the areas of intercessory prayer. Especially the greatest thing that they were using in this area of intercessory prayer, they knew the Word. Because that's what God will respond to. When you come to God and you're standing on the Word, you're not going to be an intercessor just because you can pray in tongues. You can sit and pray in tongues night and day and never be an intercessor. God said to come and plead the case. You got to get before Him and you have to have, you know, there's things, praise God, that we can pray out in tongues. Tongues is a help, but it ain't everything. It don't satisfy everything. And so we come over in these areas, especially to if we're going to approach God. God is interest, we found it. In other words, we have to have, there's got to be a merit to stand. Now understand this. We found out that God forgave our sins based on Himself. In other words, He did it for me. And but you need to understand, is me as a Christian, do I identify myself as in Christ? It's just like we take communion. Communion is the is a really reminder to us of who and what we are in Christ Jesus. Really, it's about coming boldly to the throne of grace. You know, understand this. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace. He said to receive mercy. You know, I can go to the throne of grace on the behalf of others to receive mercy. Most people only thinking about themselves. I go and receive mercy for me for what I did. No, I can go to the throne of grace. I have to be able to go there boldly. See, if you don't know God, you can't go there boldly. You can't, you know, you don't get some wimpy lawyer that hates to talk and be in front of people and get in the court to plead your case if you're trying to get, you know, get something fixed or, you know, you don't go look for some bashful, do you? He stands there, well, Your Honor, is it okay if I talk? Well, you know, you don't look for that kind of guy. Well, that kind of person can't get in the face of God to stand for others either. The bashful can't go there. You got to be a lawyer. You got to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace. This is the place where you and God talk over the situation. See, these people always say, well, I don't know, God don't seem to ever talk to me. Well, you can't ever be an intercessor then. You can't. You got to know the voice of God. You got to know what God's talking. We can know. But see, people are so much been just one-sided prayer. God, I'm asking for things. God, I got this problem, fix it. God, I got this. Our prayer lives have consumed that. We don't even wait to even hear from God. Well, I'm just standing on the Word. See, I can pray for something I didn't have to hear God for. I can make a prayer of faith for myself. And no, and I don't have to wait for God to talk to me about it. But when I'm praying for others, you sure do. It's a two-sided thing. I've learned over time praying for people. I've had times already where I tried to push things over into praying for people into areas and God wouldn't even talk to me about it with them anymore. God won't even speak to me about it. And I realized he ain't going to talk to me. There's a set course on this thing and He's not going to talk to me about it. You know, and understand, sometimes people set a course into things and, you know, you can't turn it around. I don't care how much you try to intercede, how much you can pray night and day. I've watched people do that. They don't understand. Well, we prayed and prayed for so-and-so and they died. Well, so-and-so is involved, not just you. Well, if I intercede, then it has to come to pass. Well, get over it, Space Cadet. Now, there's times I've gotten things for people. I've gotten stuff for people, and I was able to do it. And there's times I wasn't able. I tried. There's times there's people I fasted and prayed for on a number of occasions. And God came to the point He wouldn't even talk to me about it anymore. He wouldn't say anymore, and I thought, well, I ain't missing no more meals over that. You know? I've gone as far as I can with it. And we need to know that. We need to understand. We're not coming to intercession. Intercession is not a place you come and then you bully God and get what you want. There's things that if you keep pushing into in prayer, you'll open doors to the devil to start to do stuff. Because your motives are impure and you're operating out of a wrong spirit. See, we don't know much about praying and respecting God in prayer. See, this is part of reverence of God. This is part of that holy God you come and you respect God in prayer. You know, just a little story. Kenneth Hagin talked about the fact Kenneth Hagin's mother was dying, and he told the story about it. She was dying, and he wanted to have his mother a little longer to earth because she had such a hard life of when her husband left her. She was by herself, you know, and had to raise them as kids and the depression days and all that kind of stuff. And he wanted his mother to live. And the Lord said, you know, he talked to the Lord about it, and the Lord said, told him, he said, Ken, he said, this is not a good thing. Your mother's better off if she goes home right now. He said, she's ready to go. Things are good. And he said, he won't understand. He told him, he said, this is not going to work out the best. You won't have the best. And he admitted to the fact. He said, you know, God said to me, well, if you want it, you got it. He said, I'll let you have it. And he said, we didn't have the best. He got it. Oh, I see people do that. Boy, they just keep hounding until they get what they want. Do you ever have kids do that? They hound until they get what they want, and when they got what they wanted, that wasn't what they wanted. Well, adults do it as much as kids do. Get over there in the areas of prayer. See, this is why we want to hook up with God, because God is not going to just listen to my wisdom only. He's going to give me His. I would like to have His wisdom so I can make a decision. Because I will guarantee you, many times you'll find out yourself you've made wrong decisions. You need God's input. This is about coming and pleading together. This is about me and God together, or both of us working together to fix a situation. It requires both of us. It requires you and God. See, that's why this person, when people talk about personal relationship, that's why you have a personal relationship with God. See, most people, they don't think in Christianity. The terms are used about, oh, I'm going to have a personal relationship with Jesus. But their idea isn't to really commune, to get His ideas on things. They think about it, we have a personal relationship, I can get what I want. It's not what it's about. It's about me being able to find the mind of God in things. It's about God speaking things to me from His view. I want God's view about things in this nation. I want God's view, not just, I see from a perspective, but there's one thing, I don't see it all. I don't see it all. So when I go to prayer, I want to go in a way that God and I are working together. We're not in opposition. I'm not trying to get God to do something He don't want to do. You know, sometimes people think that we fast and pray or we do these kinds of things, then we'll get God to do what He didn't want. If God didn't want to do it, He ain't going to do it no matter how many meals you miss. Now, how long you stay praying? He ain't going to do it. You know, you folks heard me tell the story where I got around a guy and I got praying. The Lord told me to let the thing alone. I didn't let it alone. I just kept getting over there. Got over fasting and praying to where God had to yell at me. And boy, He really did. I mean, to me, the voice thundered. I would have thought the whole world would have heard it. And all He said was, I thought I told you to quit. He didn't say even what the thing was about or anything. I knew exactly what it was about. And I'm going to tell you what, it scared me when He did that. Says, you know, definitely God's bigger than me. And I just said, Lord, forgive me. I said, I ain't going there no more. He told me to quit praying concerning an individual. I've heard ministers say, God would never tell somebody not to pray for somebody. I'll tell you what, I know they don't know God. God wouldn't have you just sitting around and keep praying for something that can't be changed. You know, He likes me enough to tell me to let some things alone. Didn't you ever read things in life where it was just, you know, didn't you ever come to a place you own a car and like, don't put any more money in it to fix it? Did you ever come to that point? There are certain things in life you just don't know you're going any further. Do you ever have relationships with people? You know, this is as far as it can go. This is it. But the religious, when people get religious, all of a sudden all that's thrown out. And it's just, no, you just keep praying no matter what. Now that's why, see, people, they're talking about personal relationship with Jesus. There is no personal relationship with Jesus. They don't care what God's saying on the subject. They don't even listen to what God says on the subject. So, you know, we want to listen to God. Listen, if He tells us in an area, like if God doesn't tell me not to pray in an area, I pray in an area. I get over and pray in that area. Well, it's one thing God wants us to pray. We have elections coming up. We need to be able to take the word of God before God concerning these elections coming up. If we want to see what we want in this nation, if we want some things to change, we got to get God working in this thing. We have to have a good enough case. We have to have a good enough case, and so we need to know what the word of God's saying. I just want to use an example here. Turn with the book of Exodus. I want to show you something here. I'm going to read down through here some things. We see in a case of, I want to show you concerning Moses. We're going to look at some others as the following weeks. We'll look at some other areas, but I want to go in and look at some intercession in the Bible because this is the things I learned from these things in the Bible. Not just myself, I've heard other people preach them, but over the years is looking into these things, I've seen things concerning intercession. Things to do. In Exodus, the 32nd chapter, I'm going to start at verse 7. This is Moses is up in the mountain, and the people down below got over building a calf. And in verse 7 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, go get down for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." Look at what God's saying. God is separating himself from these people. Now understand, God's doing this. God's separating himself from his people. He said, "Moses, this is your bunch. This ain't mine." I will guarantee you, God probably looks in America today, would probably say the same thing. "That's not my nation. That's not my people." So you better have somebody that can stand up that knows some things. It says, listen, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" Now just think about it. These people have seen the cloud come down and the fire on the mountain. And they're down there saying, "It's a calf." I mean, you talk about people get to be idiots in 10 seconds. You know? Don't laugh at them. We're full of them in American church. We got this wonderful Bible that most of the church world don't even pay any attention to. They don't pay any attention to it. And they're building their calves. And they're worshiping and they're sacrificing to them. And they're calling it Christianity. They call it Christianity. But it ain't nothing but worshiping calves. Now, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And I will make of you a great nation." Now listen, this is the Lord speaking. Gee, I thought God would always talk like tiptoe through the tulips and real sweet, nice things. This is why most of Christianity don't know God, because they are preached to that God is always a sweet talker. I've learned God don't always sweet talk me. He don't always, and you know what? If you only hear sweet talk, you're a carnal Christian. You know, my grandson, I don't talk nothing but sweet talk to him. Wow, he's a little kid. And if God can only talk sweet talk to you, it's because you don't know Him. You're a baby. God will speak in truth. What's God saying here? Does God just hate this bunch, want to destroy them? No, God is speaking of what will be done considering the conditions. This is what's going to happen. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we're... God will tell you the truth. Oh, my words. He will? Now, so he says, get back. Let me... He says to Moses, let me alone. But see what I like? He says, Moses, let me alone. Now, one of the things about it, God knows Moses ain't going to let him alone. You know, God might say to you sometime, let me alone. I don't mean let him alone. I might be the opportunity to definitely say something. That's the time. So you got, it's one thing. Understand this. Moses learned the character of God. He learned God's ways. The Bible tells us. He learned what God was like by being in the presence of God. He wasn't just a person under a covenant making sacrifices. That's the same thing that happened with Joshua. The Bible says when Moses, he would go out of the tabernacle, when he'd leave, Joshua would stay there, and it says in the presence of the Lord. See, Joshua got to know what God was like. Got to know what he was like. And so it's important. Now, he says, let me alone. He said to Moses, look, let me kill this bunch. I'll make a great nation out of you. I'll do that. I want you to see this because, really, this is what God has called Moses to do. This is Moses' place. Moses was not just a leader. He was an intercessor. He was a type of Christ. Moses was a type of Christ. He's an intercessor over a people who need destroyed. But he's the intercessor. Now, listen to this. Then Moses says, Moses pleaded with the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people? See, he turns around and says, nope, they're your people. He's pleading his case. Hold it. You ain't putting this over on me. I'm putting this over on you. This is like in a court of law. The one lawyer saying, nope, put them to death. And the other, hey, no, they did things, but they don't deserve that. That's exactly what's going on here. We got a court of law. See, this is why we as Christians need to learn to know God, because we need to know Him well enough to talk like this in His presence. We got to learn to talk to God. See, people go through their little religious prayers and there ain't nothing but religion. We got to learn to talk to God. We got to learn how to talk to Him. He calls them your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt. He said, I didn't do this. Why? He can tell God, God, I wanted to stay down in the desert. You made me go up there. So, this is on you. See, who would talk to God that way? An intercessor would. See, the general person ain't going to be talking to God this way, and things are going to go under. He said, they're your people. You know one thing? I didn't found America. God called these people and God started this thing. And we need to talk to Him about His land. We need to talk about His intent and His purpose. See, He's waiting for somebody to say. See, we could turn around and say, well, Lord, yeah, do whatever you need to do. Or we can stand up and begin to speak according to God. You know, we have all these things and all this stuff that has been bought out over the last 10, 15 years about our heritage and about, you know, things that our leaders and stuff, God had spoke to them and different things. And we have all these things out there. People don't pay no attention to it. People just in America are generally lazy and just go on their merry old way. Don't pay no attention to this stuff. These are the words that were spoken. Now listen to here. He goes on. He said, you bought them out of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. You did it. This is, in other words, God, this is your thing. Here's Moses. This is how Moses talks to God. Now listen to what he says. Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. In other words, Moses uses just some good common sense. God, You're going to look dumb in this thing if you let this carry out like this. This is what God wants. God's looking for a man who understands what to do in the earth. This guy knows what to do. God, this isn't to your best interest. We'll say, well, why did God want to do it? Because God could not change what would happen. God has to carry it out unless a man steps in and allows God to do it in the earth. Man has the authority, not God. Here's a man taking a place in authority. Look at him being a good lawyer. He's over here reasoning with God. He ain't saying, look, these people deserve this. He's looking around God. God, this will make you look bad. See, God saved us because it's making him look bad. He's turning around and turning this thing over and said, God, this ain't going to look good for you if you do it that way. What are the Egyptians going to say? You went to all this trouble for nothing for this bunch of people. We tried to tell you so. They deserve only to be slaves. So we listen to pleas, pleading a case for these people. Now, here he goes. He opens the law book now. He opens the law books now and he says, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and of this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants and they shall inherit it forever. He just quoted the law to him. He just quoted a rule to him. This is a promise that you made to Abraham. Not to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You didn't make it to Moses, to his seed would be a great nation. You made it to Abraham and his seed. Now, Lord, you gotta do it. You see what you, if you know what the word said. What we thought the promises of the word were put in there just so we could use and jingle them around and put them in little boxes and pull them out every once in a while and talk about the great promise. They're put there for those. You need to understand what God's promised, what he said he would do, because that is your legal stance in the presence of God. See, if somebody comes along to me and somebody tells me that I can't be healed, God would say to me, I'm not going to heal you. Lord, the word says you have. Did you lie about that? The word says I was healed. Now hold it. What you mean? Well, see, God wouldn't come and say that. Now the devil would come and say it, and somebody would think it's God who don't know the Bible. He says, well, sometimes God heals, sometimes he don't. So I just heard God said he wouldn't go. So, but the whole thing was, here we see he makes a legal case of it. Now listen, so what happened? Now here, isn't this a pleading together? This is what we're having. We're seeing exactly what we had read about in scriptures. We're seeing it here. Now here in this instance, it says, so the Lord, it says, relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. He relented. Why did he relent? Because a man pleaded the case. A man pleaded the case, and his case was good. He had legal precedence to say, God, you can't do that. Now I want you to think about this. Here we are, the Church of Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus himself said to Peter, you know, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth. We have a place to stand before God far better than Moses ever thought about having. We have legal precedence. And see, if we don't learn to stand on these legal precedents in the presence of God, is learn to do these things, is look in the scriptures where I can freely talk. You know, I've told before, I remember a church I went to and they said that I prayed too much, I used the word too much in prayer. Well, they were about terrible at praying. They weren't getting nothing done. You used the word too much in prayer. You know, now you could have whined all night long in prayer and they'd have thought it was wonderful. You could have been giving all your complaint to God in prayer and you'd have thought that was really terrific. But we need to understand, see, God wasn't upset. Boy, makes me mad. Moses found that out. I wanted to kill them all and he stopped me. God wanted a man like Moses. God wanted the man. We found out God was looking for somebody to stand. God said, I got to destroy what's going on down here. I have to bring it to an end unless somebody stands up. I'm looking. God's holding off looking for somebody to stand. God's holding off looking for somebody to stand. But let me tell you what. He won't keep putting it off. He can't keep putting it off. He can't keep letting it go. He can't keep letting it go. See, that's why we need people in the body of Christ that will make stands. We need people in the body of Christ that, you know, really fulfill the Scriptures. You know, the Bible is like the 136th song. It deals with the mercy of God. If there's anything I can go to, the Bible talks about the mercy of God. So I can go, God, on the basis of mercy. But, you know, you need to go take God the Scripture. I'll tell you what, I'm serious, in prayer. Many times I'll get out in prayer, get out my Bible, and I'll go write the Scripture. And I say, Lord, it says right here, and I give Him the verses. I give Him the chapter and verses and tell it and say, this is what it says in Your Word. This is what it says. Like you go read the 136th Psalm. There's 26 verses, and all it is for His mercy endureth forever. It talks about everything down there. For His mercy endureth forever. Well, there's one thing about it. He says, come to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. What do you come there for? To receive mercy. And to find what? Grace to help in time of need. That's not just for my personal need. That is for me coming. I can come as an intercessor. I can come and join together with God. I can come to God and I can come that place. Why? It's the throne of grace. It's a place where God's help comes from. Grace is really is God's ability that helps us. It's God, what God did. Through grace, God saved us. What? He didn't do it on our merit. He did it on His merit. Now, if I'm going to stand in the presence of God, how can I stand in His presence? If I'm going to pray, I can come before God. You know, the Bible tells us about the righteous man. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. See, I'll tell you what, if I'm not one of these people who can be bold before God and declare myself righteous, well, you're going to have trouble in these areas. And this is one of the problems that we've had praying for our nation. Because people will, you know, they remember their iniquities all the time. They remember every little thing they did and how unworthy they are. And they don't come boldly to the throne of grace and stand before God and say, you know, in the blood of Jesus Christ, I'm completely righteous. I can stand here in Your presence, God. And here I am. I'm here on the behalf of our nation. Lord God, I'm coming to You about our land. You know, people are over there. It amazes me how much God is left out of prayer. God's left out of prayer. He's put off over here somewhere and people are just doing their praying and they're praying out to something. You know, no, we come to God. I come to the throne. God, I'm here before You. Lord God, I'm here about our nation. I'm totally convinced of this. There's many times that God has really shown me what I needed to pray or how I needed to pray so it'd work. God is in the business of trying to get things done. God is not trying to destroy the world. Man is doing so well at it, we don't need anybody to help. God ain't, you know, it's like, well, we need God to do something to it, to destroy it. Man is doing a fine job. And we need to understand, God is a God who is merciful. Truly, He's long-suffering. Look at it. You would think for sure, after all the period of time that things have been going on here in America, that already we'd be a cinder. Well, it's the mercy of God. God's merciful. God's kind. You know. If it would have been left up to most of the church, I mean, there would have been no revival in Russia. Russia would have been a cinder before the revival. But God's mercy withstayed things, got people to pray concerning that nation. And the walls went down and the Soviet Union was broke up and the gospel went into those nations. And all those people got saved in spite of a lot of Christianity. In spite of it. But there were people who pray. I know it's like with every day at Rhema before the wall went down. Every day at Rhema, every day at they had their prayer school in the afternoon. They were praying for the Soviet Union every day. That was for years. They would pray for revival, for a move of God in the Soviet Union. They were before God all the time on that. They were praying. Well, I remember back, man. I'll tell you what, all the Christians, you had all these so-called preachers. These communists preaching against communist preachers, and all they wanted Russia destroyed, man. That's all they could think of. That's all they talked. Well, this I know. They didn't bring no revival. They didn't view it like God viewed it. God sees it as people. And let me just say this to you. If we're going to pray for America, you have to love the people of America. If all you can see is the evil that people are doing, don't bother praying for the land, because if you don't like it, you know, I may not like what people do, but I tell you, God loves every person. God loves our president. Jesus Christ died as much for him as he did for me. And we got to have a heart. God sent Jesus out of a heart of love. Jesus, our great intercessor, came and did all he did because he loved humanity. Well, humanity sure wasn't good, were they? Did they treat him good? He died for them all. And see, we need to have that. If we're going to pray for our nation, there's got to be a love for the people of America. You got to be able to, if you can't look past people's sin, you can't intercede for them. You got to look past what they're doing. You got to be able, you have to have a vision. And I see, the Word of God will give you a vision of something greater than what people are doing. If all I can see is what people do, then I'm walking in the flesh. I'm not walking in the Spirit. If we're going to stand in the presence of God, we have to love people. We got to see their worth to be saved. We have to see that. You can't get away from that. You can't have political motives. God's not interested about political parties. He's not in the political party business. He's not in it. God's in the people business. Let's get in the people business. You know, because let's say great destruction fell on this nation. People would be dying. People would be going off to hell. God doesn't believe any man, any human being deserves hell. No matter what they've done, he don't believe they deserve it. The people will end up there by choice. But it is, he died to save them all. Now see, we got to look at it. When we're pleading our case, we're pleading about people, not things, not just economies. Although God wants to change those things, but God wants to change people. God wants to change people. There's got to be a love that we could stand in the gap for people. You know, there's one thing, you know, laying our lives down. You know, Jesus, you know, gave his life physically for our. But you know, the Bible deals with us about laying our lives down. It's not talking about dying for things. It's living for it. There's things to be lived for that you give up your life for it, that is worthwhile. And there's things that we need to know concerning the people of this nation. It's worthwhile that we lay our lives down. In other words, we'll stand in the gap for it. We'll plead the case for it. We'll stand and say, yeah, Lord, they, you know, all the things that have been done, guilty. We're not approaching you on the basis of innocence. Lord, come. We come because, Lord, you want me to read a good 500 scriptures about your mercy? I got time. I got time and I know where they're at. Because this is what you are, Lord God. Lord God, you know, that's what you have to do. Sometimes in praying, you just got to come. You don't have any other thing that you could throw over there than other than, Lord God, I'm here just because you love people and you're merciful. And you're the God of long suffering. And Lord God, you told me I was supposed to be long suffering. Are you not going to be? Would you ever talk to God that way? If you don't, you don't know nothing about being an intercessor. He's waiting for somebody to say, you said you were long suffering. Don't expect me to be if you ain't. Why? Because my God would never expect me to be long suffering and he was not. My God would never expect me to be forgiven. What did he say about sin? He told Peter about sin. Peter said, how many times am I supposed to do this forgiven things? And it ended up 490 times a day. I'll tell you what, I don't believe everybody's reached that limit in America where every day they're doing sinning 490 times. I think we got some good case law. Because if Jesus said it, Jesus said, I never say anything the Father didn't say, so I can say, Father, that's what Jesus said. Aren't you going to back him? Jesus said, if I ask anything according to your will, that you'd hear me and then I'd have it. You mean, Father, you might not do that? See, you have to understand. See, many people, we can religiously quote those things, but they're not real to us. The Scripture got to become real to you. I've learned through Scripture how I converse with my God. That's what it's about. It's not so I can walk around quoting Scriptures. So I can know how my God does things. I can know how He operates. I can know how He works. Because I've seen people go under quoting Scriptures. But they've been talking them to themselves instead of going before God. And you learn how God... I'll tell you what, we want to know. I sure don't know everything about my God. But I know the more that I approach Him according to what He has said, the more He reveals to me about what He is and what He'll do. If I will come to Him and what He's already revealed to me, He'll reveal Himself more to me. Hallelujah. See, let's have a love for America. You know, as we're going to take communion here this morning, we're going to take communion. Communion is to remind us in our position of who we are. This is why we can come boldly to the throne of grace. God became flesh. God took on flesh. God sealed a covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did these things so I can come boldly to the throne of grace. It's so I could have the righteousness of God. You could have the righteousness of God. It's so you and I can hang around God. It put us in the position where God actually lives inside of us. See, the church has to rise up above the religious cliches and say, well, yeah, God is in me. To, man, God's in me. That it is a conscious thing that we're conscious of all the time, that God indwells me, that God is with me, that God communes with me, that God talks with me, that God and I are one. Do you know you and God are one? See, if you get that, that becomes real to us. We're not trying to reach God. We're not trying to so-call as men you seeking God. If we seek God, it's because we're going to run smack dab into Him. Hallelujah. We're seeking God. We're seeking after to understand Him better, to know Him better. We're not looking for Him like He's lost somewhere or I don't know where He's at. You know, when they have these, you know, I've been to prayer, well, we're just going to seek God. And what they do is they pray like He's somewhere we don't know where He is. I'm sorry, I don't know that. I don't belong to that religion. You know, either that's Hindu or Muslim or something, I don't know. But it ain't Christianity. Hallelujah. I didn't find God, He had found me. I was the one lost, He wasn't. I was lost. Glory to God. And so, when we take communion here this morning, let's take it in the manner that we're worthy to take it in. Let's take it in as believers. Let's not take it in fear. Let's take it in confidence. This is what we are. This is what we believe. God became flesh for me. And I'm a partaker. Hallelujah. I'm a partaker of the flesh of God. Hallelujah. Me and God are one. Hallelujah. I'm the one. I can at any time come boldly to the throne of grace. At any time I can come to the presence of God. At any time I can talk to God. At any time He'll respond to me. Hallelujah. That's what faith is about. Believing that these things are true. And walking in them. Hallelujah. Let's just stand our feet. We're going to pray before we go to our communion. Father.